It's time once again for another episode of All That's Jazz, the podcast that explores everything in the world of jazz. And here now is your host, Alan Scott.
Wolf, Clark, and Dorsey. Otherwise known as pianist Michael Wolf, drummer Mike Clark, and bassist Leon Lee Dorsey, have reunited as a trio to record a heartfelt tribute to the late and great pianist-composer Bill Evans. This album is called A Letter to Bill Evans. For this masterful trio, this recording is a personal musical statement through their own unique collective lens and has been released on the Jazz Avenue 1 label. The story behind this 9-track journey through the magical tunes from the Bill Evans songbook begins with Michael Wolf's description of how it is that he was the chosen one to fill that all-important piano chair on this project and once again collaborate with Mike Clark and Leon Lee Dorsey.
We had done a really fun project a few years ago, a jazz version of Sgt. Pepper, you know, the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper. And I was really happy with how that turned out. And they had, one time or another, I don't know if it was Leon or Mike, had mentioned, hey, we want to do a Bill Evans. And I just said, you know, that just cuts too close to my heart. You know, I mean, I was friends with Bill and I listened to him so much when I was a kid. I thought, I don't really know if I could do it justice. I used to try to play like Bill Evans, but I don't really play like that. So yeah, I was hesitant to do it. And truthfully, when after COVID happened, I thought, man, anytime I get a musical opportunity, I'm just going to take it. I'm not going to overthink it. You know, get a chance to record and play with Mike and Leon is great. So, you know, we did it and we just had to come up. You know, there's so much material to choose from. It was really, really, really a nice, it was a cool process to go back. And I think all three of us separately listened to tons and tons of Bill Evans. And so that was a great experience.
So Leon, I know you had talked to Michael and were trying to encourage him to do this, and he seemed a bit reticent about it. Why do you think he was holding back a little or not committing?
Well, I think, as he just stated, the focal point is on the piano. You're doing a tribute to a pianist, you know, obviously one of the most influential pianist, jazz or otherwise, of the 20th century, revered by younger pianists. You hear people, other legends like Herbie Hancock and Chick and these people showing their reverence, these great artists themselves. So you know there'll be some kind of spotlight kind of focused on you about, oh, is he trying to play like Bill or is he not trying to play like Bill or who does he think he is trying to do this? And, you know, see, Clark and myself, we don't care what people say about us, so it kind of doesn't matter.
So, Mike, is that true?
Well, I gave Michael Wolf a choice. I said, it's either Jerry Lee Lewis or Bill Evans. And so he came up. It took him months to figure out which way to go because he loves Jerry Lee. No, I called Michael myself. I know that Leon also did, but I've been kind of talking about doing this with Leon for a couple of years, you know, both of us. And Mike was a little reluctant for the reasons that he said a second ago. And I can dig it. That would be like me doing a Elvin Jones or Tony Williams. You know, I mean, that's not something you just, oh, yeah, okay, I'll do it. You know, and but then we were talking and I said, well, listen, personally, I'm not going to try to play like Paul Modian or Marty or Zygmunt or any of those cats. I'm just going to play how I play, but with Bill Evans in mind. We were discussing piano players. Well, if we do a Bill Evans date, who should we use, you know? And we hadn't spoke to Michael yet. So a couple of names came across the board. And then both of us said, well, you know, it's got to be Mike Wolf because he's going to bring... What Michael Wolf does is brings Michael Wolf to every project that we do. I don't, even if we're playing a little gig in some bar, which we don't really do that anymore. But if we were, Michael Wolf is going to bring Michael. He's a stylist and he plays Michael Wolf, you know. And you can hear all the influences on the way to the Forum, but it's always Mike. And I just thought, okay, we don't. this he'll be perfect because A, he's a friend of Bill Evans. B, he harmonically, Michael is really super savvy. And he's not going to come in and try to play like Bill Evans. He's going to be Michael Wolfe. And Mike, if I'm not mistaken, that conversation, he's like, yeah, me too. Let's do that. Let's do, okay, I'm in.
You don't remember, Mike, I hung up on you. I didn't say that.
Yeah, you didn't speak to me for about a year. And then...
About a year. And then I did do a couple demos of those Great Balls of Fire. And it just didn't work out, you know?
No, that's when we went with the Bill Evans.
I didn't want to be like a second-rate Bill Evans, you know? I wanted to be a first-rate me.
But, and then Mike started saying to me, well, I've been messing with a couple of Bill Evans tunes and trying to find something that I can be myself in, you know? And I think I have a few sketches and a few skeleton arrangements of some of these things. And he played them for me over the phone, and it sounded really cool. And then eventually, the way I recall, we decided to do it, and we got together, and we rehearsed. Mm-hmm. And everybody, Michael had a lot of ideas about how the arrangements ought to go. And then we would say, well, how about changing this or moving that part over there? Do you want to go into four here? Do you want to do, you know, whatever. And what tunes would you like to play that you'll be comfortable? Because with a drummer, I can be fairly comfortable on any of the whatever.
That was my concern, because I just thought, well, I just, if I were to compare myself to Bill Evans, I couldn't do it. I just didn't feel, you know, that was part of my problem of just feeling, oh, you know, it's just people are going to listen to it and try to compare it to it. So I thought, I'm going to go, I love these tunes. I love Waltz for Debbie. I love Time Remembered. I love so many of these songs. I thought, let me go through and see if I can. I just have to make myself, let myself come out in those tunes. Some of them I had to change them a little bit harmonically to make it feel right for me so that I could comfortably play what I hear, you know. So it was a challenge, you know, but like Mike said, like Clark said, you know, once I got into it, like Waltz for Debbie particularly, I really messed around with that for a long time. That's almost like a classical piece, you know. It's just so amazing. And I was trying to think, how can we do it? Started in the beginning to try to do it like Bill Evans did it. And anyway, I just had to find a way that we could do it. And what really helped was rehearsing with the three of us. And that's when it really came together for me, you know?
Yeah, we did Gloria Step as some kind of a Latin thing that we sort of came up with on the spot. We tried it a couple of different ways. Hey, why don't we try this? anyway, it was really fun for me as an artist to play this date. I didn't ever feel that I was struggling or not the right this or the right that. It played itself for me. Of course, like I say, I'm playing the drums, so there, I don't have a lot of harmony and all this. It's more like I have hominy to think about, you know.
Yeah.
Not too much on Bill Evans' record.
Well, that's true. I mean, again, it was just for me feeling, I just had to get out of my head about it, you know, and be worried about the comparison or, oh, you know, Bill Evans and I were friends. When I was a really young musician, I was 20 years old, and I had heard him live before, but I met him because I was the pianist with Cal Jader, the jazz vibist, and we crossed paths a lot, and, you know, he was an idol of mine, so I just started hanging out with him and asking him questions, and pretty soon we became friends, and whenever he'd come to the San Francisco Bay Area at El Matador, I'd go every night, and then afterwards, I'd take him out to Pam Pam, which was an all-night diner, and he would sit with me, and we'd eat, and he never made me feel bad because I had a million questions, you know. How do you play this chord? How do you do that? How was it? What was it like playing with Miles? You know, what about Coltrane? What about Cannonball? You know, I was just, in those days, eat, sleep, drink, live, breathe, you know, music. That was it. That's all I could think about. So Bill was really kind to me in that way and let me watch him practice the piano, you know. So I just felt pressure about it. And then and at a certain point, I just thought, well, you know, how bad could it be? You know, it's beautiful music. Yeah, I get to play with these two guys. And that's really how it came about. But we did check out a lot of different songs before we got to the ones that we
found. Yeah, I read a lot about Bill Evans, too. I started reading about him. I was trying to get my mind into this project as, you know, more than just a drummer, as a fellow producer and collaborator and this, that, and the other. But so far, we did an interview today, Leon and I did, out of Baltimore, and I've had four or five jazz disc jockeys email me, and just to say, I really love this record, man. It's not an attempt to play like those guys. It's its own thing. It's got its own life. And so we're getting really good reviews and good feedback, you know. So I'm really encouraged. And I predicted this record would do well.
Well, and I think, Leon, that as musicians, I would assume, don't feel pressured because some of the great ones have preceded you, especially in the connection with Bill Evans. You know, you've got Scott LaFaro, you've got Eddie Gomez, you know, and other people, Joe LaBarbera, that, you know,
Gary Peacock, a lot of,
yeah, that they've played with him, but you're not trying to emulate or channel them necessarily. You're bringing yourself to the table.
Yes. And I think for a lot of people, even though it's kind of secondary to the music, but I think the fact that you go, that's why I just thought of, oh, a letter to Bill Evans, you know, didn't say Bill Evans tribute album. And a letter is generally heartfelt. You know, you write your mom, your parents write you when you leave home for college, or, you know, a letter has a lot of meanings for everybody. But the one thing that's consistent is it's like a personal message, right? You're writing something to somebody else directly. And I kind of feel like even the title kind of catches the essence of what we're trying to do musically as well.
There was, of course, an incredible album release by Bill Evans called A Letter to Evan. And that was, I believe, a tribute to his son. Is this kind of a play on words or?
Yeah, actually, right. I was unaware of that. And when I was searching the album and that came up first and then our album came up, I go like, oh, wow, look at that. You know, I probably saw it, you know, many moons ago. So I feel it wasn't intentional, maybe just subconscious.
You know, Leon, I agree with you because when I first saw that, I thought, well, what's the connection? Or were did you listen to Letter to Evan and then say, ah, you know what? This feels like and plays like, so it's now a letter to Bill Evans.
Yeah, just random.
Well, it was random because we were talking, Leon and I were talking about an album cover before we had the title, and we were discussing, well, let's have a picture of the piano from the keyboard perspective, from Michael's perspective, and the camera would be And we were going on and on about how to go about this. And we had a cigarette in the ashtray, some Bill Evans stuff, you know what I mean? And then that's when you just came out with it. We were saying, I had a few ideas for title. We were kicking it back and forth. And all of a sudden, Leon goes, a letter to Bill. That's how it started. He didn't even say Bill Evans, a letter to Bill. And I was like, yeah. And so here we are.
So who did the artwork for the album cover? It's absolutely exquisite.
This young kid who is working on his doctorate at Eastman, he's a trumpet player, and he's actually done the last four or five projects that I've done with Michael. But his name's John Hasselbeck III. He has a nice feel for the music. And usually after I've talked to Clark, I go like, this is what I'm thinking, or I might send him a couple images. I think I even sent him, I went to, you know, just Googled concert grand piano, sent those. I said, we kind of want something with a piano, like, can you lid open, side, you know, a 12-foot, 9-foot piano, it's hard to condense it to the size of a CD cover and make it make any sense, which is why Clark said, you know, maybe we should take it from the perspective of the player. And then we kept kicking around. Then he came up with this image where he filled the piano with the blue, and we were like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. Right. This is like, and it's Bill's image in black against this blue piano. And it was just like almost, I go like, oh my goodness, that's like as magical as the music is.
Yeah, I mean, it's classic. If you look at it, it's one of those things you would say, damn, I got to listen to this album. It speaks to you. And it really is wonderfully done.
Yeah, he nailed it.
Mike, in getting back to the music on this album, you and Michael Wolff have had a long-time relationship, and as a result, I'm quite certain that you were very confident that he would bring it to the table for this Bill Evans recording.
Man, I've been playing with Michael since 1973. You know, Michael's going to come up with something, with arrangements where he feels comfortable. He's not just going to come in and play My Romance. He's going to bring something of himself besides his talent and besides his playing. We discuss this back and forth and we try it and they go, well, let's not do that there. Let's make the bridge. You know, different stuff comes up.
You know, I have to say that on this date, I played something. I don't know if I've ever played. It just came out, this double octave thing. I mean, I used to play it when I was a kid, you know, trying to be like Oscar Peterson, but we did You and the Night and the Music, right? Because Mike and Leon were just laying it down a certain way, the rhythm. And when I like to play with a trio, because I like to ride, they're the wave and I'm just surfing on it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just started playing this double octave thing and I was looking at it going, what is this? Well, I'm not going to stop it. I'm going to let it go as long as it goes. You know, that's how I like to play. Do the work ahead of time, but when it happens, it goes where it goes. And the way these guys, their time, we were not playing like, you know, Scott LaFaro and Paul Motion. We were playing like Clark and Dorsey and Wolf, you know, and it's really different, very different. It wasn't that interactive. in that way. It was interactive and a different kind of feeling. And so that really was a relief to me. And then I just started finding things happening. Like you said, when we did the more straight eighth Latin-y kind of version of Glorious Step, we tried the other way and I was like, oh, it just sounds like Bill Evans, or I can't really find it. And then we did this thing and it just happened.
I knew these moments were going to show up in this particular trio. Leon always swings always swings. So
the music is music we've heard, but it's so rich. It's like when we did Nardis, it's like, I didn't know how can I do this Nardis? You know, Bill Evans did it. He probably recorded it 15 times, you know, and he did some intros that were out of this world. I have Richie Bayrak put out these copy of these intros that I heard. I went, oh man, I can't do an intro. You know, somehow we found it some kind of thing. I'd never heard it played that way before. So luckily, it just kind of happened.
It's interesting you say that, especially about the song Nardis, which first of all was attributed and associated with Miles Davis, but then it was Bill Evans who made it famous, or certainly very well known. So I think it's indicative of what the three of you bring to the table.
This album, whatever happened, when I don't even remember that we did a lot of work on this, because for me, it wasn't work. Michael, you did a hell of a lot of work, because Mike came in with charts, you know, that with the harmony that he was comfortable with, the hits that he wanted and stuff. And then, you know, Leon and I would make suggestions here and there. We're really cool with each other. It's not, but like in a trio, like Michael said, the orchestra is the piano. So that's a lot of responsibility, man, especially if you're going to do a Bill Evans record.
So, Leon, did you arrange any of the tracks on this recording?
Not really, because we, except for like those very elaborate intros that Wolf was talking about, we kind of just, a lot of the stuff with Clark, it's almost kind of like you hear people go like, oh, we kind of work as one mind. Like, we're so confident about the outcome that we can sometimes partially unconsciously, like we know what the ultimate objective is, right? So we don't even talk everything through. And sometimes when we're just, you know, kind of messing around, just having casual conversation, everything feeds the music, right? It's just, that's the beauty about being an artist, right? It doesn't, you know, you make a joke or you go like, oh man, you know, Clark calls me, goes, man, I'm walking the dog and, you know, the dog says it's time to go out and I was just taking my shoes off. So even what seems non-essential to like concrete musical elements, all that is kind of like in there, which is why I think Wolf and Clark, you know, they have this long history. So that plays a role, whether we call a tune or Wolf brings in some very detailed arrangement, right? So everything is kind of feeding it. Like, you know, your mother loves, it's like, the way your mother loves you, you know, every, you know, you can't, I mean, it's just good all the time, you know?
Well, I think one thing is that why it works so great for me to play with these guys is, you know, we're all experienced. So these guys know all the options, you know, I'm always going with a lot of options on the song, rhythmically, harmonically, melodically. Right. And they know all the possible options, and they both know my playing, especially Clark, but I've played enough with Leon. He's checked me out. So I don't have to hold back, like I was saying when I went into the double octave thing or harmonically on Time Remembered, whatever it is, we're just in this world of sound and this, we're on this certain plane of having been there so long in music. It's just all there, and it's sort of, the way I see it, it's color, it's swirling around. and we just go for it. And I can go to a different place and Leon can harmonically hear it. And if we start to do some hits or something, Mike will be right there. So there's a lot of freedom once we get some sort of structure. You know, it's like basketball players. They really can't step out of bounds, or they're out of bounds. But anything else in there, if they don't foul the guy, they can do any play they want all night long, and they're running free. And that's why the Lakers were so great. You know, they didn't have all those plays. They just knew how to do it. And I think that's how we were. We don't have a bunch of plays. We just do it. Leon and Mike and I mean, we're mature musicians, and Mike and I might be a little more mature than Leon in terms of age. But the fact is, at least for me, and I know Mike, and I think Leon too, I'm always working on stuff. I'm always hearing new stuff. I have a manuscript book full of my ideas, and I was just looking over them yesterday and going, oh, here's a sound. You know, always listening and hearing stuff. That's just part of my life. And I teach at NYU, and Mike teaches privately, and Leon's up at Berkeley. And so we're dealing with trying to not only learn new things, but how do we verbalize them, you know, and we check out these young people. So I feel like we're in it. We're all in it all the time, you know. And so when we sit down and play, you know, you can't step in the same river twice. You know, we do keep going. Well, you know, we did this and we were all in the same room, so you couldn't fix anything. So it all had to happen in the moment, period. We could do another take, but we couldn't say fix the bass or fix the piano. That was it. So we had to do it kind of like it was a live gig, you know.
How many takes were there on most of the tunes?
As I recall, no more than two. Maybe we did three on You and the Night and the Music and My Romance, but I don't remember laboring over a whole lot of stuff.
And sometimes you just do another take. You're like, you know what? It needs to have one less chorus in it, or let's try a faster tempo or something like that.
Well, Periscope was one where we did it twice because we can't remember why we did it the second time. I just think it came out better. We did one take one day, and we did one take the next day.
Several of the ballads were only one take.
I think Time Remembered and Turn Out the Stars were one take. And that was when we came back the second day and I said, we got to redo them. And I listened to them first and I went, let's don't redo them.
Glorious Step 2, we did a couple. I couldn't do any better than this. But when we played Glorious Step, more straight eighth Latin.
Yeah, that one we kept doing a lot of takes.
But once we got to the Latin thing, as soon as it started, like within two notes, I just remember thinking, this is going to go on. This was it. This is going to be the take, or at least the feel. You know,
it was a Scott LaFaro tune that Bill was really famous for. And it's such a unique and beautiful and interesting piece of music. I played it with Ronnie Cuber. He had recorded it. But the way we did it was so, I was so happy with how it came out.
So who put together the playlist? Was it a collaborative effort or was it Michael yourself just choosing?
Well, I mean, we had to play things that I could play. You know, I couldn't play everything. But, you know, Clark would call me and say, listen to Interplay. I really want to do Interplay or something. And I'd go, let me check that out, man. Or Leon would say, well, what about this tune? You know, so we were all kind of throwing our hats in the ring of tunes. And then I'd just say, well, look, guys, I don't think I can do this one justice. Or Interplay, I could definitely do that one. Or, you know, or Waltz for Debbie. I was really hesitant about that one, but it turned out great.
When I decided myself, I was like, whatever tunes Wolf called known or lesser known, like I had like, because I just know he's going to like come smoke those tunes. So I don't care what, if he picks the first thing Bill Evans wrote in 10th grade that nobody knows, that's what we're going to go record.
I mean, we had a few others we didn't put on the album that we, and I thought about like very early, and we had did all of You, and we did some other stuff. But these are the songs that really, I think, just spoke to us the most, and really I felt like they led us, you know, they kind of led us. You know?
When I was 20 years old, I had a 4-night-a-week gig that lasted for 4 years. It was an organ trio gig, and I was the leader, and the organ player loved Bill Evans. So I have been playing a lot of this stuff since I was 20, professionally too, not just working over the, you know, so yeah. I was familiar with everything. Periscope I played, and I just really wanted to play Interplay because that was a big tune for me when I was a kid. Record with Jim Hall and Philly Joe and Bill Evans, and I don't think I said anything about it, but my thought was like, we can't not do this.
So Leon, was there a song for you that was a standout or something that really struck a note, no pun intended?
I really love Nardis, right? I mean, it's something about certain tunes, like you just feel like you can sink your teeth into them. And it's just some tunes, like you actually never get tired of hearing a tune. It's not, there's no saturation. So for me, that's one of the kind of standout tunes, though My Romance is very close as well, because I just kind of feel like we kind of just went in there and you kind of grabbed a tune, you know, it just kind of like jumped on it. But Nardis kind of got this kind of easy going thing, but then we still kind of went in there and swung it. You know, it has this open, very modal, Phrygian kind of Spanish element, but you still kind of know it's a jazz tune. And again, though as common as, you know, it's almost Misty, Take the A-Train level kind of jazz standard.
So thank you for that. And I will ask Michael at this point, what's the standout for you on this album? I know you had this close relationship with Bill Evans, the man himself. Is there a tune that maybe you felt a connection with him emotionally?
Well, you know, I felt a connection with him on every song, but I think the ballads were, you know, where I got to play a little bit by myself, you know, more, I would say, melodically and rhapsodize a little bit and move around. You know, I'd heard Bill a million times play these and listen to them on records. And so I think they just took me to a certain place, you know, that I wasn't expecting, to be honest. I think everything with Bill was kind of painful beauty, you know. Mm-hmm. He talks about truth and beauty, but I always felt the pain in him.
And I think that's the takeaway for this album. You transcended the difficult life that Bill Evans had, but yet look at what he left behind.
Well, I'll tell you one thing about Bill Evans. You know, there's a lot of us, when we're learning to play and we copy somebody and we do this and we do this, Bill Evans, he came up with his own way of doing it, you know. If you try to see what he's doing, and you can kind of listen sort of and you go, oh, yeah, he's a jazz piano player. But if you get into what he's doing, it's unique. It's really special. And, you know, of course, the Coy Tyner is unique and everybody's unique, but he set the tone for modern jazz harmony, modern jazz piano playing. Now, for myself, I've had my struggles in my life and being ill, and I have Tourette syndrome and all the stuff I've been through. I mean, I'm the luckiest person in the world. I've had a great life. But there are parts of me that really can feel that pain, that darkness. It's certain colors, you know? And that's not where I live all the time, but I have that in me. So this project maybe brought me a little closer to that in a musical way.
And it's quite evident. It is truly there. And I'm sure our listeners will perceive that. They'll experience it for themselves, but also take into consideration that it's the three of you, Michael Wolff, Leon Lee Dorsey, and Mike Clark, that are bringing your own piece of magic to the music.
Thank you so much, Alan. Appreciate it.
It's Alan, great to see you again.
Thank you again, Alan.
Thanks for listening to this episode of All That's Jazz with pianist Michael Wolff, drummer Mike Clark, and bassist Leon Lee Dorsey.
We'd like to thank Ben Sedrin for the use of Mr. P's Shuffle as our theme song.
And visit us again next time for another interesting conversation on All That's Jazz.
If you like today's episode, please leave us a 5-star rating on the streaming service you use. All That's Jazz is available on every major streaming app, including Podbean, Apple Podcast, and Spotify, as well as Facebook and online at allthatsjazz.net.